And let's pray. May the words I speak and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I have to say, I thought there was some irony when I read the scripture readings for my first service with you today. Jesus sends out the 72 and instructs them that when they enter a town, if they are welcomed, eat with them, heal them, proclaim the kingdom of God. But if they don't welcome you, wipe the dust off your feet. I am rest assured I won't need to wipe the dust of Pollock's Hill off my feet. And I certainly don't feel like a lamb being sent amongst wolves, particularly after the warm welcome I've already received after only being here just a couple of weeks. Thank you for your cards, your welcome, your words of encouragement. But over the past few weeks and months, as I've prepared to move here, I have been thinking about how I will be received. This is the first week I've worn a dog collar, a physical symbol of who and what I represent. How will that affect how people perceive me? The only moment I've had that's been quite funny with that was this week when two men came to deliver my sofa. And when they knocked on my door, they said, "Sorry, we're late. Do you need to get to church?" And I looked a bit confused at them until I remembered I was wearing a collar. And then one of them said, "I've never met a lady priest before." To which I said, "Well, you've been looking in the wrong places then, haven't I?" But it did have quite a 90s Dibley-esque feel to it as a comment. But each of us, when we're doing something in front of people or meeting someone for the first time, consider the impression we will make. There's been a lot of drama performances happening in the villages and around this weekend, and performers on stage, in their preparation, consider how the performance will be received by the audience. What will the reaction be? The sending out of the 72 is sort of a practice run. Jesus is preparing his followers for the mission that they will be tasked with when he's no longer with them. And again, I could observe some parallels between this task and my role and responsibility here in the benefice over the next 3 years. As a curate, this is a time to get going, to put into practice what I've been training and studying for 3 years and beyond. But it's also a further time of training, an opportunity to learn from Simon and Louise and from each of you. What does the practice run look like for the 72? Well, Jesus sends them out in pairs. He doesn't task them with sharing the good news alone. And he instructs them to travel light. If you've seen the number of cardboard boxes in my house this week, that'll tell you something of how closely I follow this instruction. But the lightness of which they are to travel lends itself to the simplicity of the instruction. Because what does Jesus tell them to do when they enter homes and towns? Eat and drink with people, heal people, and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. That was the task of the early Christian mission. Eat and drink and heal people. And Jesus adds, stay there. Do not move around from house to house. If you encounter someone who doesn't reject you, who responds to you peaceably, stay with them. Spend time with them. Walk alongside them. A book came out earlier this year called Walk in My Shoes. And it's written by a man called Mick Fleming. You might have heard of him. He's a church pastor in Burnley. And he's been quite public and open in sharing his testimony of being arrested for the first time at the age of 9. And then during his early adult life, being entangled in crime and addictions and facing death a few times. And now he is living and working as a pastor in recovery. And the book that he's written this year is stories of people he has encountered throughout his life. he shares their stories and experiences, whilst wrestling with the question of why do people suffer? And he shares where through these encounters, these relationships and these friendships he's formed, he has witnessed hope. In a recent interview with Mick, the writer, about the book, he was asked about encountering difference and finding mutual points of hope amid suffering. And he said, "I believe that the power of God lives in me. I believe it's in me. It's not a distant God that I can't touch. He's actually with me and in me. Therefore, I ask and it gets revealed. What a remarkable thing. My God lives in me. If you grasp that, then you can speak to and experience that." The 72 in this reading who are sent out know this clearly. They have been charged and sent out by Jesus himself. They've seen with their own eyes the way in which he transforms the lives of those he meets by eating and drinking with people and healing them. But we have also received the Holy Spirit, the charge to continue the good work of the first followers. God lives in us. Later in that interview, the interviewer asked Mick, the writer, if he thought there were ways in which the church could do more to be a witness. And he said, "I think the church needs to look and understand who it's ministering to, who it wants to minister to, and where it's called to be, rather than just open your doors and see what happens." This man's own faith and his sense of hope in the world was transformed by meeting other people. This is what we see Jesus doing in the scriptures all the time. He's never one for staying in one place. And it's what he encourages his disciples and the 72 to do. He doesn't want them to stay in one place and wait for people to come to them. He sends them out to meet people and says, "Stay with them." When the 72 proclaim that the kingdom of God is near, they mean it quite literally. Jesus, God's own self, is about to follow through these towns and villages on his way to Jerusalem. But of course, they're also pointing to something else, beyond Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Something that this passage invites us to point to as well. As followers of Christ, as missionaries in proclaiming the coming kingdom, wherever we find ourselves, at whatever stage in our lives, we are called to be people of hope and people who share a vision of that hope. Jesus tells them, if you're not welcome, if your message isn't well received, don't stay there, move on. It can be very easy to get bogged down by complaints or negativity, rather than celebrating in the successes and focusing on the good. In that first reading we heard today, Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul warns the church community against being tempted to be led astray by others. I know I can think of a few times when people have been having a moan about something and I feel myself get sucked into that conversation, maybe not even something I particularly agree with. And it's amazing the way something can get blown out of proportion or gather momentum once a few people join in. But instead, Paul instructs them to restore others gently. Carry each other's burdens, but don't compare yourselves with others. And a line I really like, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things. How do we go about sharing the good news that we've received? The 72 are not naive. They're sent out with caution. You are being sent like lambs amongst wolves. Jesus warns them that they may be met with hostility and their message may be rejected. Sometimes positivity and optimism is not well received. There might be times in our lives when life has felt exceedingly tough, when we can't see a way out of a situation, when we feel angry at the world and perhaps at God. And encouraging remarks, hopeful platitudes only add to our pain and our frustration. But this is acknowledged. Move on, Jesus says, when you're not well received. Don't force this upon people. Develop empathy Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And when the 72 return to Jesus, reporting back how they've done, they are full of excitement. I think you can almost hear their tone of surprise. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus reassures them. Yes, I have given you this authority. Jesus essentially says, I've trained you up. You are equipped to go out and share the good news. But then he says to them, don't rejoice because Satan submits. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I imagine it like this sort of ethereal seesaw. As one goes down, the other goes up. As evil in this world is overcome, good will conquer. Pain and suffering and hostility will decrease as compassion, empathy, hospitality increase. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Those are Paul's words to the church in Galatia. And they're words for us to hear today. Let us not become weary in doing good. The sending of the 72 was one of the first models of Christian ministry. They had a practice run when Jesus was still with them, to try it out, to test how they would be received. And when they did, they were shocked, surprised at people's responses and their openness to receive a message of hope. As I begin my work here, and as we continue that mission that we are sent out and called to do, my prayer is that together we can grow in abounding as being people who share that good news of hope. Amen.